As I was worshiping at my seat this morning, the word God is hope came to mind. Someone may be here this morning. Someone may be logged on this morning, and you may not have hope. I want to let you know there is hope, and it's found in Jesus Christ this morning. I may not know you personally. You may be going through a tough time, and you may be looking for hope. Well, guess what? You found it. Or shall I say, hope has found you and I this morning, church. There is hope when we put our trust completely in Jesus Christ. Amen. Amen, church. Let's give Jesus Christ a hand this morning, church. Hallelujah. Come on, church. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Glory be to God. Oh, hallelujah. Praise God. Amen. You all may be seated here on this beautiful Sunday morning. Well, once again, we want to continue to welcome everybody out to our Sunday morning service. Amen. It's good to have you all here in the house of God this morning. You may be wondering, where is our senior pastor at this morning? Well, they are on their way home. They're traveling from California. Like I mentioned, we went to our world conference out there where we had a powerful, powerful time in the presence of God. And I want to encourage you, if you wasn't able to go online to VOI Plus and watch the different preachings that took place. God really spoke and moved in a mighty and mighty and powerful way, church. Mighty way. Had an awesome time there. Got a breakthrough. Was able to see good friends and the Lord and just to be in the presence of God. Amen. Let me open up in the word of prayer. Lord, just thank you for this time. Thank you once again for the opportunity, Lord God, to share your word this morning. And thank you once again for the opportunity, Lord God, to be in your presence, my God. And we just pray this morning that our hearts and minds be open, that we are focused on your message, Lord God, that we are focused entirely on you and nothing else, Lord God. I pray you speak through me, Lord God. Give me the boldness. Give me the anointing. Give me what I need to speak your message of hope this morning. We pray every word you speak, not just be heard, because James said when we hear and don't apply it, we deceive ourselves. I pray we have the intention of being obedient to the word, even if it means suffering that may take place. We give you all the praise, honor, and glory. In Jesus' name we pray. And the church of God says, let's give Jesus another hand this morning, church. Well, as you see, I have the great honor and privilege of sharing the word of God this morning. Amen. Like I mentioned, we just came back from our world conference, and we hadn't had a world conference in 5 years. So it was actually a historic time out there in California. You know, we learned there's a lot of awesome things taking place through this ministry. Just know you are a part of a great end time movement of God. You know, we got to hear from our founders, top leadership. We also had special guest speakers that came to bless us with a great impartation in God's word. There's a lot of good things taking place, and there's also great opportunity for you and I to be used of God in this end time world and within this end time ministry. And God is looking for people all over the world to put their hands to the plow and say yes to the call of God. See, God, if you don't know, Victory Outreach, we've been around just 55 years. Within 55 years, God was able to establish 300 churches, and we are in 30 different countries all over the world. See, that's a place to give God a hand clap of praise. And all this is able to take place using up people like you and I. Amen. That's a beautiful thing. And God is not done yet. See, God wants to continue to do something new and fresh within and through our lives. But it's going to take a people like you and I to say yes to God. And not just say yes when everything's going good, but say yes for the duration of our life here on earth. One of the things where our theme of this year is a time of acceleration. See, God wants to accelerate what he wants to do here on earth through Victory Outreach International. And you hear this morning, for a reason. You may not believe that, but this is a divine appointment of God. Those who log on this morning, you didn't log on by chance or luck. God has placed that in your heart. You log on because God has a desire to use all of our lives to build the kingdom of God and to push back against the kingdom of darkness. Not too long ago, I spoke about perseverance and the reward that comes from perseverance. Now I'm going to talk about that area again, but I want to talk about understanding the importance of persevering when times get hard. Because the enemy, he knows what's taking place. Friday night out there, it was our launch out service. And we was able to witness and see 500 people that got licensed, that got launched out into their city, man. Let's give Jesus Christ a hand for that. And that's the heart of God, to see men and women catch the vision, run with the vision, and continue to allow God to use their lives. But at the same time, our adversary is not going to stand back and just let this take place. And that's why I want us to understand the importance of perseverance. If you desire to be used of God, we have to understand opposition is going to come. And we're going to learn opposition is a part of the calling of God that's upon our lives. Another thing our founder, Pastor Sonny Argazzoni Sr., mentioned, he was mentioning the fact that he was looking for specialists. See, they want people to get saved and set free, but he also want people to become specialists in different areas of ministry. See, we got to understand God wants us not just to be saved and set free, that's good and all that, but he wants us to really become trained and equipped to be effective in the building of his kingdom. And God is looking for specialists in so many areas: evangelism, sound and media, preaching, ushering, you know, that's just to name a few. And we got to understand there's going to be opposition. You know, I want to be a specialist. I don't want to just be saved and set free. I'm not satisfied with just being saved. That's just me personally. Some people are cool with just coming to church, and that's fine. Praise God. But for those who have a true desire to reach the full capacity that God has for your life, I want us to know the enemy is not going to stand and let us do our thing. He's going to push back, and he's going to try his best to hinder us from growing and advancing the kingdom of God. That's why we got to be determined, Christians. No matter what's taking place, we got to be determined to be those that's going to move forward, that's going to allow God to use our lives even when opposition take place. And I don't want to get ahead, but we're going to learn through the life of the Apostle Paul. When it comes to perseverance, I cannot think of no one other than Jesus Christ, besides Jesus Christ, the Apostle Paul. And I believe we are familiar with his life and how he lived while he was here on earth. He went through a lot, but we're going to learn the importance of continuing to move forward, because through his life, God was able to do many signs and wonders. He was able to use his life to bring the gospel to the Gentiles, which is you and I. And because of him being obedient and being willing to persevere, many people was able to be reached for the glory and honor of God. So we got to understand, as we continue to press in and move forward, when our lives, when we're going through troubled times, difficult times, others that's not saved could continue to be won to the kingdom of God for his honor and glory. Now, like I mentioned, I want to prepare us for what will take place when we decide we're not just come to church, when we decide we're not just going to take up a seat, but when we decide that we want to become a specialist and really be used of God, the enemy is going to attack you and I. Now, some of you might be saying, you had me, brother. You had it going. You was going good. But now you said that. Well, we got to understand our walk with God is going to come with a lot of attacks from the enemy. But we got to understand, because he attacked us doesn't mean he's still in control. The enemy is a defeated foe, the Bible says. So no matter what he brings our way, he's still defeated. Amen. But when we don't do our part, then we allow him to think he's in control. But he knows he's not. But that's why we got to understand not only the importance of why we should persevere when times get hard, but I believe we must also understand the lies that are effective when we don't decide to press in when times get hard. Think about it. If the Apostle Paul would have gave up when times got hard, a lot of souls would not have been saved and set free. So we got to get to a place as a Christian where we live our lives totally for God and for those who are lost and bound. That's what Jesus modeled within his life. He lived an unselfish life. And we as Christians got to get to that place where it's not always about me, 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 and me, but it's about the lost and the bound. The Bible tells us we must not be only out for our own interests, but be out for the interests of others as well. That is the heartbeat of Jesus Christ. He has a desire to see that man that's under that bridge. He has a desire to see that prostitute, that game breaker, that single mother, that person that's lost and bound, reach for his honor and glory. And that's why you and I been saved and set free. not just to be cleaned up, not just to have a good paying job. That's cool. But really, when God saved us, he saved us with a plan and purpose of reaching the lost and bound in and through our lives. See, when a person comes to having understanding about something in life, where they may be fixing a car, doing work around the house, that person will have a certain amount of knowledge about a subject, situation, or we are able to have an understanding about how something works. So I want us to understand, have a knowledge and understanding how perseverance really works. Because this is key when it comes to keeping God's kingdom growing in and through our lives. And as human beings, we can all have a knowledge in a lot of things. And there's nothing wrong with attaining knowledge. It's a good thing. I love education. Now that I'm saved, I want to learn a lot, and I'm still learning a lot of things. Case in point, like I mentioned, we can have an understanding about home improvement, how to fix a wall, how to fix a leaky faucet, or whatever the case may be. And that could save us a lot of money. You know, calling a plumber, or whatever the case may be, having that type of knowledge would save us a lot of money in the long run. Same thing with automobiles. It takes a lot of money to maintain a car. And if we know how to change the oil and do certain things, that's a very knowledge, that's good knowledge to have. You know, going to these different auto mechanics at times could be stressful. You never know what you're going to get. So having that type of knowledge is a blessing. Now the list goes on and on when it comes to what we could have an understanding within our lives. But out of all the things we could have an understanding in, the most important thing we should have an understanding in is the word of the living God. See, the Bible is knowledge that was around for many years, and it's the number one selling book today. This knowledge that God gives us through his word is knowledge that will cover all areas of our life, marriage, finances, our mind, health, and all those different things. And we got to understand the importance of tapping into this knowledge, the biblical knowledge, that some of us at times neglect. This knowledge is going to take us from being just saved and set free to answering the calling of God. We got to understand the importance of persevering when times get hard. Because I don't know if we realize, we are living in end times, which means times are going to get harder and harder and harder. So this area of perseverance needs to be developed within our lives in order to endure the hard times that's ahead of us. The Bible says that those who serve to the end shall be saved, which means those who press in, who move forward, who don't look back, who don't get comfortable, who continue to advance the kingdom of God, at the end of our lives, we will be saved. The word perseverance in the dictionary means the following: persistent in doing something despite difficulty or delay in achieving success. This is something that we got to learn to do when we want to be successful in life, even outside of things of God. We got to learn how to, despite difficulty that comes our way, we got to learn how to continue to press in and move forward. Another definition: persistent in sticking to a plan. We got to be able to stick to the plan of God no matter what takes place in our lives. Another definition: continued effort to do or achieve something, even when this is difficult or takes a long time. So if we really want to answer the calling of God, if we want to see the blessing of God come to pass in our life and through our lives, we got to learn how to be persistent in the things of God. And I have here in my notes, it says, anytime a person decides to find their place in ministry, we can rest assured opposition from the enemy will come our way. And the enemy brings this in hopes to stop us dead in our tracks. And when that happens, we have to be determined to persevere and keep the kingdom of God moving forward. As we're going to read, the Apostle Paul understood this very, very well. Our founder, Pastor Sonny, and Sister Julie Argazzoni also understand this importance very well. They best believe they've been through a lot of storms, a lot of tribulations, a lot of trouble. But because they was determined to continue to serve God no matter what, you and I are here in the house of God this morning. Let's give Jesus Christ a hand for that this morning, church. And this is one thing I love about God. The enemy, he's a father of lies. He gives us half-truths. But when it comes to serving God, God gives us the whole truth and nothing but the whole truth. Because he wants us to understand our role in serving and building his kingdom here on earth. Now, I'm going to be reading some powerful, powerful portions of scripture. We're going to be reading about the life of Paul during a time where he faced opposition. You know, he was on this portion of scripture. He just started his first journey, his missionary journey. And the devil knew that this cat wasn't no joke. And he knew that he was here to advance the kingdom of God. And the enemy was trying to stop him early in his ministry. See, Paul was seeing the lives of many get touched by God. Paul was also witnessing the devil using people to bring opposition, as we're going to read. Every time Paul and Barnabas went on the scene, the devil brought opposition. And I want us to learn that opposition is going to come our way. It's going to come our way because the devil hates you and I. He don't like us. He don't want us to be saved. He don't want us to be in our right mind. He wants us to be broken. He wants us to be separated from God, separated from others. And we got to understand the enemy's job and his role. And that's why it's very important, even when we don't understand it, if it don't make sense, if it don't feel good, that's why we got to be determined to press in and move forward. Because when we don't stop, when we allow God to continue to be in control, when times get hard, we don't allow the enemy to have a foot in our lives. See, as we're going to read, no matter what the devil threw Paul's way, Paul did not allow him to slow him down. And that's why God was able to raise him up and use his life in a mighty and powerful way. Even to this day, we are still talking about the Apostle Paul, because he understood no matter what the enemy threw his way, the enemy was a defeated foe. And we got to really understand that, church. We got to really understand that Satan has been defeated. He's under our feet. But when we don't do our part and come under God's word, that's when the enemy is able to have access into our lives. Acts chapter 14, verse 1 through 7. If you don't have a Bible, the scriptures will be on the screens before you this morning. Acts chapter 14, starting at verse 1. Acts chapter 14, verse 1 through 7, the Bible reads, "The same thing happened in Iconium. Paul and Barnabas went to the Jewish synagogue and preached with such power that a great number of both Jews and Greeks became believers." So Paul and Barnabas, they on the move for God. The Bible says through their obedience, a great number of people was won to the kingdom of God. Now check this out. Verse 2 says, "Some of the Jews, however, spurred God's message and poisoned the minds of the Gentiles against Paul and Barnabas." Now the enemy comes with the opposition, because the enemy knows the kingdom of God is growing and advancing, and he doesn't want that. Simple message, but I want us to understand. God wants to use our lives, and he wants to use our lives when times get hard as well. Verse 3, "But the apostles stayed there a long time, preaching boldly about the grace of the Lord. And the Lord proved their message was true by giving them power to do miraculous signs and wonders." See, they continued to push the kingdom of darkness back. They didn't get scared. They didn't run and hide. The Bible said they stayed doing what God had called them to do, because they was determined to please God and to be a blessing to those who are unsaved. And that's what God is still looking for in this end time world. Verse 4, "But the people of the town were divided in their opinion about them. Some sided with the Jews and some with the apostles. Then a mob of Gentiles and Jews, along with their leaders, decided to attack and stone them." Verse 6, "When the apostles learned of it, they fled to the region of Lycaonia, to the towns of Lystra and Derbe, in the surrounding areas. And there they preached the good news." So a little background about this story, Acts chapter 14. Like I mentioned, this is during Paul's first missionary journey. Paul was traveling with Barnabas, and they both were set apart by the Holy Spirit. In the chapter previous, in Acts 13, the Bible tells us men, they were praying, they were worshiping God, they were fasting, and the Holy Spirit spoke, and he said to set those two apart for the calling of God. Now, as you read, we come to the place where this special work is being done. Now, you do that in your own time. Go back and read Acts chapter 13. You know, the Holy Spirit said that, set those two apart. But the Holy Spirit never said anything about the opposition that was going to come their way. But we got to understand, no matter what, they kept moving forward in the things of God. And this is very important for us to understand. A lot of times we stem back when sometimes it feels like ministry is getting overwhelming, when times are getting hard, when things are taking place in our lives, we tend to stem back. But the Bible said these men kept moving forward with the things of God. And that's what we got to learn to do as Christians. Not to stand back, not to stop coming to church, but to continue to move forward in our walk with God. Acts chapter 14, verse 1 to 3. Let's go back to the opening scripture and let's read those three verses. And I want to pull something from there. Because see, when we stand back, we cannot advance the kingdom of God. Souls cannot be won over when we stand back. We got to understand that, church. The same thing happened in Iconium. Paul and Barnabas went to the Jewish synagogue and preached with such power that a great number of both Jews and Greeks became believers. Some of the Jews, however, spurned God's message and poisoned the minds of the Gentiles against Paul and Barnabas. But the apostles stayed there a long time, preaching boldly about the grace of the Lord. And the Lord proved their message was true by giving them power to do miraculous signs and wonders. Notice in the beginning of the scripture, the Bible said the same thing was happening. They was winning souls wherever they went, and opposition came their way. See, Paul understood that opposition was going to come. And he understood it's going to get hard. He's not going to feel like going out there witnessing. He's not going to feel like praying, but he understood he had to do it if he wanted to see people won to the kingdom of God. And just like in Paul's day, we experience the same thing in his days and time. Opposition come our way when we hit the streets. We get hecklers at times, and they want to talk smack and do this and that. You know, when we at work, sometimes we get opposition come our way. And we got to understand, we must not get discouraged. Don't get to a place where we feel like we can't do this, we can't do that. When we find opposition come our way, we got to do like Paul and Barnabas did and continue to be obedient, continue to run the race, and continue to keep our focus on Jesus Christ. See, Paul experienced the same thing in many aspects of his life. If we read the New Testament, we see Paul went through a lot of stuff. He was shipwrecked. He was left for dead, stoned to death, and he went through all those things. And no matter what he went through, he had that determination. And he also had that understanding that it was necessary for him to go through those things because there's an adversary that's warring for his soul. And I believe we all love God. We are here this morning for a reason. Amen. Victory Outreach been around since 1967. View of Milwaukee been around for many years. If we want to continue to see this ministry grow and enter into our future and our destiny, we got to be people that's going to be willing to persevere when times get hard. Now, in this portion of scripture, there was a pivotal moment in Paul's life. Like I mentioned in chapter 13, Paul and Barnabas were set apart by the Holy Spirit. And this was also Paul's first missionary journey. So see, Saint was checking him out. Saint knows who's praying, who's not praying, who's reading the word, who's not. He knows who's serious about the things of God and who's not. And Satan knew that Apostle Paul was very serious about the things of God. So he knew God was going to use his life in a big and mighty way. He didn't see it all the way through like God, but he had an understanding, I believe, that Apostle Paul was going to be a powerful man of God. And that's the same with all of us. Enemy is checking all of us out this morning. And he's checking us out and he's seeing who's being obedient, who's witnessing, who's hitting the streets, who's fasting, who's reading, who's studying, who's doing all those things. And when he sees us doing our part, he wants to bring opposition our way. That's why we got to learn how to love one another. We ain't gossiping and bickering and arguing. We got to learn how to let those things go because we are family. Look to your neighbor and say family. We are brothers and sisters in the Lord. And we got to get to a place where we all love one another, even when times get hard, even when sometimes we rub one another wrong. Well, that's going to happen. It's going to happen. But through all of that, we got to continue to move forward and allow God to be in control of our lives. And just like I mentioned, Satan knows something is big going to take place through the ministry of Victory Outreach International. Like I mentioned last week, Friday, their 500 ministers were acknowledged. You know, they were licensed. A lot of them got launched out to their city. And the enemy knows that God is going to do something big in and through this ministry called Victory Outreach. So what that tells us is that we got to be on our spiritual game. We got to be prayed up. We got to be fasting. We got to be in God's word. Because when we do that, we allow ourselves to be alert and ready for the attacks that the enemy going to bring our way. But if we do the opposite, if we stand back, get comfortable, do less and less of what we call to do, that's when the enemy is able to use opposition to be effective for his kingdom. Now, I want us to notice something very important within the scripture. When did the opposition start for Paul? See, God wants to put us on game. See, because we got to understand when we start building momentum, when we start doing good, when we start coming to church, when we start giving, when we start witnessing, when we start doing things for God, the enemy will take notice of that, and he will try his best to stop us from doing those things because he don't want to see the kingdom of God advance. Now, notice in Paul's life, when he was persecuting the church, when he witnessed Stephen's stoning, when he was doing all those things outside of God, there was no opposition taking place. But the moment God stepped into his life, the moment Paul made a decision that he was going to be a specialist and make an impact in this world, the enemy started bringing opposition his way. So just know that you're doing good, continue to do good. Don't get discouraged. Continue to come to church. Continue to give. Continue to serve God. And don't allow the enemy opposition to discourage you, church. It's a part of the plan of God for our lives. But like I mentioned, but once Paul made a decision to become a specialist, the enemy brought opposition his way. See, I want us to understand opposition is a tool the enemy can use to try to slow up or even stop the work of God from taking place. He could be successful if we don't be obedient. He could be successful if we don't do our part and continue to serve God even when times get hard. That's why yes and amen is so important, church. Being a yes and amen person is also that's an awesome thing. A lot of us don't see that. But when we allow God to be in control of our lives, it keeps the enemy from having a place in our lives. If the opposition started to take place in Paul's life, once he became a threat to the kingdom of darkness, this tells you and I the same thing is going to happen. Once we start putting our hands to the plow, when we start coming to church, start reading God's word, start seeing our minds renewed, the enemy will bring opposition, some big, some small. But guarantee it, he's going to bring opposition our way. And guess who he wants to use? The church. Not the lost and bound, they in sin. He wants to use you and I, the church of God, to bring this opposition our way. That's why we got to learn in our ministry, there's three principles. Just flow, get in the van, and all things are subject to change. Just flow. That's why it's very important that we learn how to follow, come under God, come under leadership. It's biblical. It's in the Bible for a reason. God wants to keep us together, not divided. Division is the work of the enemy. But we got to really have a true desire to want to serve God in order for all that to be effective within our lives. See, and like I mentioned, the enemy's always checking us out. He's looking to see who's complaining, who's not grateful, who's not giving, because he knows he could use those things to bring opposition in the things of God. Acts chapter 14, verse 1. Let's go back to that scripture. Another thing I want to pull out from there. It says, the same thing happened in Iconium. Paul and Barnabas went to the Jewish synagogue and preached with such power that a great number of both Jews and Greeks became believers. This became a pattern for them. They knew opposition was going to take place because people was being won to the kingdom of God. But they didn't let that stop them. And I have here in my notes, when we face opposition the right way, we will be able to make an impact in the lives of others. When we keep coming to church, when we keep serving God, when we keep our hands to the plow, when we keep building the kingdom of God, God will use the opposition to make an impact in the life of the lost and bound. Paul and Barnabas understood that. And that's why the only thing the enemy could do is get a hold of those that really weren't on board with the things of God. And that's what he does now. And God knows it. Satan knows not everybody going to answer the call. Not everybody going to be obedient. Not everybody want to put their hands to the plow. And they both know that. But for us that's here this morning that said we want to be those that want to make an impact, just know opposition is going to come our way. We got to understand that it's a part of the process. A lot of times we see opposition as a bad thing. But as we read, it's actually a good thing. Because all the bad things that took place in Paul's life, he was using it to save someone that's lost and bound. And we got to always remember, there's always someone that's in a worse condition than you and I, even when the opposition takes place. So we got to learn how to see things through God's perspective and through his mindset. Now, let's notice another thing that was taking place in this portion of scripture. Paul never allowed the opposition to stop him from advancing the kingdom of God. And the reason why I believe that, because Paul had a true desire to not only please God, but to see people saved for his honor and glory. See, we got to remember, man, like I mentioned, he was a persecutor of Christians. You know, he witnessed Stephen's death. He gave the okay to it. You know, he witnessed all that. And I believe once he got saved, that messed him up. And he had a determination to do what was right, because he knew for many years of his life he did wrong, just like all of us. We all did wrong things before we got saved. And we should have a true desire in our life to see others saved and set free, because God reached us for it with his grace and mercy. We should always be grateful and be willing to go all the way, even when times get hard. Now, let's go to Acts chapter 14. Let's read verses 8 through 10. Then we're going to jump down to verses 19 through 20. Because opposition was continuing to take place. But also, I don't want us to be so focused on that. I really want us to focus on the fact that people were being saved and set free through these men's obedience. Acts chapter 14, starting in verse 8, it says, "While they were at Lystra, Paul and Barnabas came upon a man with crippled feet. He had been that way from birth, so he had never walked. He was sitting and listening as Paul preached." He was checking him out. You know, he was like, "Man, I don't know, man. I hear what he's saying. I believe God can hear me." Looking straight at him, Paul realized he had faith to be healed. See, this is what I'm saying. They understood those people, the crippled man, the lost and bound. They understood that's why they had to persevere for them. Now, think about it. The man wouldn't have got his healing if they would have stepped back. They would have took their hands off the plow and just be comfortable with coming to church. This man would have never got his healing. The Bible continues to read, Paul called to him in a loud voice, "Stand up." And the man jumped to his feet and started walking. Now watch this. Here come the opposition. Then some Jews arrived from Antioch and Iconium and won the crowds to their side. They stoned Paul and dragged him out of town, thinking he was dead. But as the believers gathered around him, he got back up and went back into the town. The next day he left with Barnabas for Derbe. See what happened? Times was getting hard. Stoning was taking place. Previously, they was talking about stoning him, but they got away. But in this portion of scripture, they got him, and they stoned him. And the Bible said they went back into that town, man. He understood he got to continue to move forward despite difficulty taking place in his life. We got to understand that. I'm telling you, Victory Outreach International, we are on the move. What I witnessed out there last week was the power of God. 500 people being a licensed minister. I mean, that's a power. You know how many people that could be won and saved and set free through 500 people? That is powerful. And the enemy is not going to stand back for that. And we got to understand, as we continue to move forward in our local movement, the enemy is going to try his best to stop us from coming to church, putting wrong jobs in our path, wrong relationships, all these different things in our path. That's why we got to be spiritually alert. And Paul and Barnabas, they was on their game. They didn't care about being stoned. He understood that his life was to be given in order for the kingdom of God to be advanced. Like I mentioned, once again, we see Paul doing God's will, and he's faced with opposition. And he kept going. He kept moving forward. Now, he was stoned. He was left for dead. They got back up, and he kept moving forward. And that tells us that's what God wants for all of our lives. He do not want us to get comfortable. It's not the time for us to get comfortable within this end time world, church. Any time in our life, this is a very, very important time in human history where we should be rising up. We should be willing to start a life group. We should be willing to hit the street. We should be willing to do whatever it takes to see the souls that's unsaved one for God's honor and glory. But when we're not spiritually alert, the opposite takes place. No time that we're going to read that Paul and Barnabas stood back. They didn't get comfortable. They kept moving forward because they love God and they want to see souls won for the kingdom of God. And I have here in my notes, if we truly love God, and if we want to see souls saved, we will allow the opposition that the enemy brings our way bring glory to God. Paul got stoned. That didn't mean God didn't love him. That didn't mean God wasn't on the throne. That didn't mean that God didn't leave him or forsake him. What it meant was the adversary was trying his best to stop God's work from being done in and through his life. Now, I have a question this morning. Why do we need to persevere in life? Some of you may be asking this question. Why is that? Well, the answer is this. Perseverance is essential for success in our walk with God. Actually, it's essential for success in our life in general. Even being when we weren't saved, we had to learn how to go through hard times and still go to work, still provide for the family, still make money so we could pay those bills. So that is essential regardless, being saved and unsaved. And it's more essential now that we're saved because there are souls on the line. God uses difficult times to train you and I if we choose to persevere and continue to fulfill the plan God has for our lives when times get hard. Some of us may be called to go to the mission field. And we got to learn now where we at in this season to persevere. We go to a different place in our walk with God where we may not have food, we may not have certain things, and if we haven't learned how to persevere, it's going to be kind of hard to take us to that next level in our walk with God. Perseverance is very, very important as a Christian. We got to learn how to be content. Apostle Paul said he learned how to be content. He had much, he had little. No matter what, he was content. And by being content and pressing in when times get hard, God will continue to use our lives in a mighty and powerful way. Now, there's a lot of things that we will face that's difficult in our life. We live in a world where sin is running rampant, and there's always going to be things that's going to take place. You know, we may get physically sick. You know, we may go to the doctor and find out we may got stage four cancer, and you know, a lot of things could take place physically speaking. We could lose a good paying job. You never know, you may go to work and the owner sold the company to another person and we could lose our job. It could be a timely death in the family. You get a phone call and hear so-and-so passed away. Divorce could take place, natural disaster. You could lose everything you work hard for. And there are more things that we could go through that are difficult. But we got to understand, if we allow God to, God will be able to use those difficult situations to draw us closer to him. But see, a lot of times we do the opposite. When times get difficult, we draw further from him. When that's the wrong thing to do. When times get hard, we need God's power. We need his strength. We need his wisdom. So why do we choose to stand back when times get hard, when we need him in the first place? See, we got to learn when times get hard that God's still in control and that we must stay in position, we must continue to move forward, and must continue to allow God to push the kingdom of darkness back in and through our lives. God will also use these difficult situations to not only draw us closer to him, but to also win someone that's unsaved to the kingdom of God. Believe it or not, people are watching our lives. When we profess that we are Christians, we're on the scope. People looking at us, checking us out, and okay, let me see. They examine us, and they're watching our lives. And we don't realize when people see us pressing in when times get hard, I believe they may inspire someone. They may encourage someone to continue to move forward or even come to the things of God. Persevering through our hard times also shapes our character. See, God wants us to be, we made in the image and likeness of God. And we got to get to a place where our character is in line with the character of Jesus Christ. And persevering through our hard times will allow us to be shaped and molded to be more like Christ. Because Christ modeled this. He went through a lot of stuff. He went through all those things being sinless, being a perfect, perfect Lamb of God. So he wants us to press in so that we can be more Christ-like. Also, perseverance during hard times requires you and I to trust in God. In other words, increase our faith. Because when times get hard, sometimes it's hard to see that God's in control. It's hard to see the light on the other side of the tunnel when times get hard. And during these times, we got to learn how to trust in God. Because if we don't, and we try to take matters into our own hands, we will only make things worse. And I don't know about you. I don't want to make things worse. I did that BC. I learned. I don't want to do that no more. So we got to learn how to trust in God and just know that he's a promise keeper and just know that he will never leave us nor forsake us and just know he's on our side no matter what takes place. We got to really believe that, church. Another thing, committed people persevere. See, when you committed to God, when you sold out to the kingdom of God, no matter what, We are committed to pressing in and moving forward because we understand our commitment to God. He would not only honor it, but he could use it to continue to rescue souls that's not saved for his honor and glory. And the Apostle Paul understood it. And he went through so much in his life on earth in obedience to God. So that tells us if we're going to go through things, you might as well get that in your spirit. If you want to answer the calling of God, if you want God to use your life in a mighty and powerful way, perseverance is very important because we're going to go through things. It's not a perfect walk. I go through things. It's not easy serving God. But when we see someone coming to the church, into the home, broken, and get healed and get saved and set free, that is a true blessing to see. And that blesses the heart of God. Like I mentioned, God said all those people being licensed in position to go out into those cities. I know that blessed his heart because he sees people that's willing to stand and do the right thing within this end times world. Amen. Now, I want to give a short story about this area of perseverance. Now, how many of us know a man named Jack Canfield? Have you ever heard that name before? Well, you might probably have. He's the creator of the Chicken Soup for the Soul series. Yeah, I know, I believe we all read those books before. Jack and his co-author Mark Victor Hansen pitched the original Chicken Soup for the Soul to over 130 different publishers. Man, that's a lot. But none of them were interested and said, no one wants to read 100 inspirational stories. Ain't that crazy? They going to speak for the whole world. They going to tell these men no one wants to read. How they know what someone wants to read? The devil is a liar, ain't he? Inspirational stories, of course, everybody want to read something inspirational for their life. But see, I love this story because check this out. After 100 plus pitches, the agent dropped them as well. He was off for the money problem. He said, man, you know what? I got bills to pay. You on your own. Deuces. But they were determined to get the book published, see? They was determined no matter what. They may have understood they was going to get rejected. They was going to hear no. They probably didn't understand they was going to hear over 130 times, but they was determined. See, we got to understand the importance of perseverance and being determined in the things of God. It's powerful. When someone determined, when they got their mind focused and set on God, the enemy can do nothing about that. When he sees a determined man, woman, and young adult moving forward in his walk, it hurts his heart because he knows that person becomes a true threat to his kingdom. Luckily, they never gave up and continued to persevere until their book was picked up by a small publisher in Florida. Now, check this out. Now, there are over 250 Chicken Soup for the Soul books and over 500 million copies. They said no one wanted to read it, though. The devil is a lie. Look to your neighbor and say it boldly. The devil is a lie. He is a lie. Over 500 million copies sold worldwide. If they had given up, these inspirational stories wouldn't have been read across the world, and they wouldn't have made millions of dollars. Now, transfer that to the kingdom of God. If we give up, if we stand back, if we don't press in and move forward, many souls could be lost for all eternity and spend their eternal life in hell, a place that God did not create it for you and I. That's not created for human beings. But through our choices and our disobedience, unfortunately, some will find themselves at that place. Now we've heard the message, and now you may be asking yourself, what can we do? What can I do when we are challenged to persevere? Well, there's a lot of things, but I'm going to give us four things that we can do when we challenge to move forward, because it's hard. I get it. When you know, a death takes place or something tragic takes place, it's hard to see God in the midst of it. It's hard to press in. It's hard to want to come to church. I get it. But we got to keep in mind the lost and bound. We got to keep in mind it's temporary. Everything we go through here on earth is temporary. The pain, the turmoil, the suffering, all those things is temporary. And the Apostle Paul understood it. Number one, what can we do when we are challenged to persevere? Keep our mind on Jesus Christ. This is the first thing. Stay focused. Stay focused. That's why prayer and word of God, spending time in the presence of God is so important. Someone once said prayer in God's word to Christians like human to human beings. We need it to breathe. We got to understand, we got to spend great time with God. 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 8, this translation is worded different. It says, keep your mind on Jesus Christ. When times get hard, keep your mind on Jesus Christ. People talk to smack, keep your mind on Jesus Christ. When you may not have a lot of finances, keep your mind on Jesus Christ. He was raised from the dead. He was the family of David. That is the good news I tell people. And I have here in my notes, keeping our minds on Jesus Christ will keep us with the right perspective when we are challenged to persevere and not give up. The Apostle Paul kept Jesus on his mind. You know how hard it was to be stoned? Can you imagine that? When we study, one of the things we taught to do is to put ourselves in that scripture, in their shoes. Now imagine that this man righteous in right standing, and he gets stoned. Broken bones could took place, scars and all those things. But yet he got back up. The Bible says, not only did he get back up, he went back into the same place where he was stoned at. That's a determined man. That's powerful. Not only to get back up. How many of us would have done that? Probably would have got him and ran away. But to get back up and go back in there, man, that was bold. And he, but he understood that would touch people's lives. People like, man, this man back? We just took you out. I thought you was dead. There's got to be something to what he's preaching about. I believe Paul had that type of understanding and mindset. He knew through his suffering, someone going to be reached. And I believe when he went back in there, I believe some of those people that were stoning him got saved. Man, I thought you was dead, man. Man, you know what? I got to find out who you worshiping. In my notes, it says, keeping our minds on Jesus will keep us. Oh, I said already. Praise God. Somebody might need to hear it again. Keeping our minds on Jesus will keep us with the right perspective when we are challenged to persevere and not give up. And it's hard. I get it. It is hard. If different things take place. Could be small things to the biggest things. But we gotta not give up. We got to understand God could use it to restore our lives, to restore the lives of others, to continue to build his kingdom. So we must not give up. Giving up should not be in our thought life and our vocabulary, nowhere near our lives. Because this is the greatest thing that we could ever do is serve the living God. To live free from drugs, live free from alcohol, live free from financial ruin, all those different things. It's a blessing to have. Number two, we could keep the vision of Victory Outreach International burning in our hearts. That's why it's very important we know the mission statement, promise scriptures. That's why it's important we go to different events because we stay in tune with Victory Outreach International. And it keeps the vision fresh within our hearts and minds. Promise scripture number one, Isaiah 45, 2 and 3. I will go before you and will level the mountains. I will break down gates of bronze and cut through bars of iron. I will give you hidden treasures, riches stored in secret places, so that you may know that I am the Lord, the God of Israel, who summons you by name. Promise scripture number two, Isaiah 54, 2 and 3. And this has all been taking place, and it's continuing to take place within Victory Outreach International. Enlarge the place of your tent. Stretch your tent curtains wide. Do not hold back. Lengthen your cords, strengthen your stakes. He said, don't hold back. See, it's important that we don't hold back. For you will spread out to the right and to the left. Your descendants will dispose nations and settle in the desolate cities. That's what's taking place as we speak. Third promise scripture, Isaiah 59, 21. As for me, this is my covenant with them, says the Lord. My spirit who is on you will not depart from you, and my words that I have put in your mouth will always be on your lips, and on the lips of your children, and on the lips of their descendants, from this time on and forever, says the Lord. Now, I have here my notes. Keeping the lost and bound in our hearts should help us to persevere when times get hard. When we do, the unsaved will reap the benefits. Ask me, how do I know that? How do I know that? Because we're here this morning. We reaping the benefits of obedience of other people before we got saved and set free. Yeah. See? Let's give God a hand clap for that. There is no way you and I will be here in the house of God if our senior pastor gave up. If his pastor gave up, which is our spiritual grandfather, if you got to understand, that's why we got to persevere. It gets hard. Ministry gets hard at times. It gets overwhelming. I get it. God understands that. Jesus understood that. He even said in the Garden of Gethsemane, can we do this some other way, Father? But he said, not my will, your will be done. Because he had the mind, he had the souls, the unsaved, all of us in mind. Number three, the third thing we must do is keep moving forward and remain obedient to God. We cannot stop. We cannot get comfortable. We got to keep moving forward. The Apostle Paul understood it. Momentum. He kept that momentum going. Even when he was stoned to death, he got back up and he kept moving forward because he knew there are a lot of people that needed to hear about the good news of Jesus Christ. And he also understood not everybody was going to be reached for God's honor and glory, but at least he wanted to be used to give everybody that he could an opportunity to hear about what God could do within that person's life. 1 Samuel chapter 15, verse 22. One of my favorite scriptures when it comes to obedience. This was after God gave Saul the command to go and wipe out the Amalek nation. I believe we are familiar with the story. God told him to wipe everything out, animals, kids, everything. And Saul did opposite. He kept the good animals for himself, spared King Agag, and he was disobedient. Samuel told him this, what is more pleasing to the Lord, your burnt offerings and sacrifices or your obedience to his voice? Listen, obedience is better than sacrifice. And submission is better off than offering the fat of rams. Saul had it wrong. He knew he was disobedient, so he said, I'm going to sacrifice. And Samuel said, no. No, you got it all wrong, my friend. Obedience is what God looks for, not sacrifice. In my notes, keeping in obedience to God is what God honors the most in our lives. Sacrificing without obedience will not please God. Obedience comes before sacrifice. Case in point, let's, for example, someone goes into the home, that's a sacrifice. But they had to all first be obedient to that direction of going into the home. So we got to understand the importance of being obedient. Because obedience it keeps God's kingdom continue to be advanced here on earth. And see, in that story with Saul, I'm kind of getting off the notes, but Saul didn't understand that those people, the Amaleks, they was destroying pretty much a nuisance to the people of God. And God told him to go wipe them out. He was trying to keep them from being hindered by those people. And we got to understand God is trying to keep us from being a nuisance to someone that's not saved. That's why our obedience to God is so important. Because God sees the lost and bound, but yet he also sees the church. He also sees his church. And he's also looking to the church to rise up and to take our stand. Because God not holding those who are not saved accountable. He's holding you and I accountable for what we know. So it's very important that we continue to move forward when times get hard. Because one day, if we don't, God is going to bring it to our attention in the judgment seat of Christ. The fourth thing, we must keep in mind where God has brought us from. This is also very important. And I think as we say, we stay saved year after year, time goes on. I believe some of us, including myself at times, we may forget the person we were before Christ stepped into our lives. And we can never forget who we were, BC, before Christ stepped into our lives. We can never forget where God brought us from, that low place where we was at, when he reached out and pulled us out of our pit. We can never forget that. We can never forget it. Romans chapter 5, verse 8. But God demonstrates his own love for us in this. While we were still sinners, in other words, while we was in the trap, while we was lost and bound, while we was locked up, while we was gangbanging, while we was out there unsaved and messed up in our sin, the Bible said Christ died for us. And we got to always remember that. Paul never forgot what God did in his life. And I have here in my notes, we must never forget all that God has done for us. Perseverance will show God that we are truly grateful and we want to see souls saved for his honor and glory. It blessed God to see the Apostle Paul moving forward. Although he was stoned, shipwrecked, left for dead, went without food, all on stand, it blesses the heart of God because God was able to use it to see others saved and set free. So we got to understand, church, that God wants to use us to reach those souls that's lost and bound. But if his church is not doing our part, it's kind of hard. He may look to someone else to be the answer to the cries of the city of Milwaukee. We all see the news. We all see what's taking place in our city, man. There's a lot of crime and things taking place. But we also got to see it as a great opportunity for God's kingdom to be advanced here in our city. Sometimes we get bummed out. We watch the news. We get bummed out. We should see it as an opportunity to go and witness, an opportunity to pray, an opportunity to fast, an opportunity to bring God honor and glory. It's called perspective. I have a question. After hearing all this, after learning about Apostle Paul and everything he went through, after learning that we're going to face opposition, we're going to go through a lot of things, do we still have a desire to answer the calling of God? For me, I can't answer for you personally, but me, yes. Because I got loved ones that's not saved, people in the neighborhood, all over that's not saved. And if the answer is yes, then I want to encourage you to find your place here in VO Milwaukee. We need men and women and young adults to rise up and take their stand. We need more light groups. We need people to lock arms with the gang, God's anointing now generation. You know, we need men to usher, to greet, sound and meter. There's a great need. And God needs people to take their stand here in their local church. See, it's not the time, like I mentioned, to stem back. We're living in the end times, and the second return of Jesus Christ is closer than ever before. Why would we want to stem back when we know Christ is coming back? That's a mind blur. We should be stirred up to want to do more for God. I'm not the sharpest person, I tell myself, and it's true, but I'm willing to do whatever God takes, because I know my founders wasn't the sharpest person coming to the things of God, but look what God has done in 55 years in and through their life. My senior pastor, he wasn't always the sharpest person, but he was a willing person. So I understand that. I don't got to be the sharpest person. As we learned, our international overseer of our game ministry, God's Anointed Now Generation, Pastor Ryan, spoke about how God is able to put in us the things we need to be successful. See, all he's looking for is a willing vessel. And one of the points he made said a willing heart will produce a willing hand. So all God is looking for is willing people that will say yes to the things of God. See, when the Bible says when we be about our Father's business, he will be about our business. See, our number one priority in our life should be and always be about the lost and bound. And that is the Father's business. That's why his Son was sent to die for us, the lost and bound. That always been God's number one interest, you and I. And that always should be our interest as well. And I got to warn you again, once we do our part, put our hand to the plow, we're going to go through opposition. We got to understand it. So I want us to know this morning, be encouraged. Time's going to get hard. I'm going to take my stand. I want to be used of God. I don't want to be used of the enemy. And I know people are going to talk about me, and I'm going to go through all those things. It's okay. I got to continue to move forward because I know people could be won to the kingdom of God. And the enemy wants to discourage us. God put giftings in us, talents. We all got what it takes to answer the calling of God upon our lives. God wouldn't have brought us here if that wasn't the case. But the enemy is going to try his best to discourage us, remind us of our past life, tell us that we know good enough, tell us we messed up so bad that there's no other chance. That's a lie from the pit of hell, church. God forgive us. He loves us. And he desires to use our lives to make an end time march for his kingdom. See, that's why we cannot allow the enemy to have victory in our minds. That's why the Bible says we must renew our minds, be transformed by renewing our mind, by applying God's word, by spending time in his presence. When we see the enemy doing this, trying to discourage us, that's why we got to develop this habit of perseverance. We cannot allow the enemy to shut us down. We cannot. We all been through this. We all been there, and we all done that. God understands that. But he says once we confess our sins, once we accept them into our life, all things has passed away. We got to move forward, church. God wants to use us to move his kingdom forward, just like he did in the life of the Apostle Paul. But we got to really want this, church. We got to really want this. I'm telling you, man, I was blessed to see all those people standing on that podium, and one day I will be licensed. One day I will take a city. I know it. And I'm not trying to talk big. I'm speaking, this is what God's called me to do. I was encouraged by that, man. And I know some of them people, a lot of them wasn't sharp. A lot of them wasn't intelligent, you know, but they had a yes and amen growing in their lives. And by doing so, God was able to put them on that pedestal. He was able to anoint them. He was able to license them, and eventually going to launch them out to their city to be used to reach those that are lost and bound. We got to learn how to press in when times get hard. And by doing so, we will see many souls reach for God's honor and glory as I get ready to close this morning. The keyboard player can make his way and play softly in the background. Closing scripture, Proverbs chapter 3, verse 13. Because now we heard the word of God. Now we got to go and apply it. Without application, we deceive ourselves. The Apostle James says it himself. I don't want to be deceived with truth. The Bible says when we know the truth shall set you free. That's one thing to be deceived in darkness. Pastor Charlie and Alberto, we was talking about that in the office not too long ago. Man, that was heavy. That's why I thank God for the position I'm in. At times, I get pulled in the office and Pastor Charlie get to pouring into our lives. That's heavy. To be bound in darkness, yeah, of course, that's sin. That's what sin is supposed to do. But be deceived in the things of God, man, that's insane to me. But it happens when we don't apply God's word. So we got to be intentional now that we heard of God's word, that we're going to have the altar call to go out and apply it. By doing so, not only ourselves, but others could be saved and set free. Proverbs chapter 3, verse 13 says, blessed are those who find wisdom, those who gain understanding. And I believe today we have gained an understanding in this area of perseverance through the life of the Apostle Paul and Barnabas. Two people, too. Did I catch that? 1,000 people. God used two people. Now, we don't know if there was 10 people around them, but it speaks only about two people in those portions of scriptures, which tells me God don't need many people. He needs just a few to say yes and amen. And by doing so, he could do powerful things in and through that person's life. And as we stand, I have here. Now that we have understanding in the area of perseverance, we must put to practice what we have learned and continue to allow God to use our lives even when faced with troubled times in our walk with God. If the Apostle Paul could go through everything he went through, he was stoned more than once. Shipwreck. We know the story. Acts, he was taking that ship. He told the homeboy, man, we need to park this boat. We need to park this ship. They didn't want to hear it. They were trying to get to where they was going. They were trying to beat the weather. And they almost lost their life. And he continued to serve God. What an awesome man of God he was, man. A great inspiration for my life to know if he could go through all that garbage, I could do it too. I'm going to open up the altar this morning. If you truly have a desire of God to use your life, I want you to come to the altars and spend some time with God this morning. We're not a time of fellowship. Right now, it's time to let God know that we want to be used to make an end time stand within this end time world. Come on, church. The altars are open this morning. Oh, hallelujah. Come on, church. The enemy is a defeated foe. God's not looking at our past life. God is not looking at our mistakes. The Bible says old things have passed away. No matter what we have done, no matter what side of the tracks we come from, once we repent and give our life to God, all that passed away. Let's move forward, church. Let's move forward. Let's back up our senior pastors. Let's back up our founders. And let's back up our King Jesus Christ and taking a stand against the kingdom of darkness, church. Oh, hallelujah, hallelujah. Oh, we worship you, Lord God.